CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
On Friday, I think it was Friday, before the weekend, I was watching the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. You watched a little bit with me as well. We were at the desk and we were watching the NBA draft, which went down. And the NBA, they draft players from all over the world. And they drafted this one guy in the draft. He was from Finland.
Okay.
And I didn't know this, but I'll run it by you to see if you knew this. They were talking about his pay packet, because rookies get paid pretty well, up in the millions.
Everyone in the NBA gets paid pretty well.
So we're talking big contracts, millions of dollars. And the guys were saying on TV, they were saying that he might not want to get a speeding fine from now, because in Finland, where he's from, they actually calculate your speeding fines based on how much you get paid.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's not.
So you're saying the more you earn, the more you pay in a speeding fine.
Yeah. And I looked into it a little bit more, and they were saying that they do that because speeding fines. I mean, if you're a millionaire and you get a speeding fine for $100, it means nothing.
So they're the ones with the expensive fast cars.
Exactly. So they want to make it sort of meaningful for everyone. So they say, all right, whatever you get paid, it's half a day's salary.
So how much would that be have you figured it out?
Well, this guy, there's a story on this millionaire here, and he was fined $58,000.
How much does he earn?
But judging by half a day's salary, that'd be $116,000 a day. He's a multi-millionaire.
And, oh, my God.
What's he going here? I'm just looking at the speeds. He was going, do you know how to convert miles into KMs?
Yes, that's in my repertoire of things I know how to do, Gordy.
He was going 64 miles per hour in a 50 zone. So there you go, yeah. That's right.
64 miles per hour in a 50.
That's what we've got here, isn't it? He's going 15 over the limit.
But miles per hour, so 60 is about 100.
Right.
So 60 miles per hour is about 100. So he was doing, 100 in a... He was doing about 100 Ks in a 50 zone.
Okay. So he's been fined $58,000 to the point where he was talking about leaving Finland because he thought it was ridiculous.
Whoa!
58K in one day. Are you serious?
I'm just trying to figure out. He earns, what'd you say,
$116,000 in a day.
Thousand?
Yeah, in a day.
Three. Oh, my God.
What? What's that?
That guy earns $42 million a year.
He's a multi-millionaire.
Well, that one's an extreme. So I would have to pay. Hold on, let me figure it out.
Don't work out your pay on the air, Brent.
I'd have to pay about 3 cents.
Oh, well, speed away. Speed away.
I'm getting to work extra quick tomorrow.
Move to Finland. Do not speak.
Don't speak.
Do not speak. It's not good for anyone. It is not good for anyone.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
CFM.
Central Coast, are you ready for the biggest thing in darts history? Bree and Jaunty Start Team 2017. Introducing Bree having a dart to Massel and Daniel Dart Simpson Gore. Central Coast, let there be darts.
You don't treat me no good no more.
It is the most hyped darts team ever for the skill that we possess.
Oh, there's no skill. That's for sure. And we found that out big time on Friday night.
Went down Friday night to the Central Coast Leagues Club and we rocked up. And when we got in there, one guy sitting there and about, how many dart boards would you say there was?
100?
100, was it?
I reckon.
It goes right the way around the room.
Seriously, there's that many down there. They had a
top
big
level.
Is it, when's the big dart comp? Was it on Saturday?
It was the next day. It was on Saturday. Yeah. So
didn't bring our own darts, so we thought they were darts provided. Yeah. Apparently not.
Yeah. Paul, wasn't it? It was Paul that was there.
Paul.
The Lone Ranger himself lent us his darts, which was good. So we're going to have to go and at least get some darts to keep playing games. But some great characters there. I've got to say, if you've ever thought about just having a couple of drinks and going down for a casual game.
Central Coast Leagues on a Friday night.
It's a good
involved.
Time.
It's a lot of fun.
It was great. Just wanted to play some audio because Steph was kind of running the show there, Stephanie. And
she kept calling you Gaudry.
Yeah, Gaudry. I just didn't even want to correct her. She said, Brian Gaudry.
That's me. So essentially we were playing as a duo.
Yeah.
And we were taking on other duos on the night.
And we wanted to ask Steph just some tips being first-timers. So we wanted to find out from her what we needed to do to become a good darts team as, you know, for someone that's had so much...
She was one of the best.
...time in the game. Wasn't she good?
She was amazing.
She was great. And this is what she had to say. Steph, you know what's going on here?
She just won the game. Yeah. The most amazing shots I've ever seen twice in a row. So she's got to give us the tips.
We're a very new team to darts. But what tips would you give to some newbies like us?
Some amateurs.
Yeah.
Well, when you stand up to the hockey line, you actually...
What's that?
Where you step up.
Yeah.
The hockey, is that what it's called, the hockey line?
The hockey.
Okay, there,
the
that's
hockey.
Darts
okay,
chat.
Okay, that's dart chat. I like that.
That there is your hockey line.
Okay.
Right. New
you
alert.
Stand up there and you make yourself comfortable, however you feel comfortable.
Okay.
Right?
I'm always comfortable on the couch. Can I put a couch up there?
No, sorry.
Okay.
No, you got to stand.
Should we smack talk
help.
Other people?
Yes.
Should we get in their heads?
Yeah.
Smack talk.
Smack talk? You know, like just...
Stephanie's done a bit of smack talk in her day.
Yeah. Some people do.
You've had a bit of smack talk already.
Can you give me an example of one of your smack talk?
Well, actually, I don't.
You don't smack talk.
I don't.
It's all classy. If we're not classy, so we got a smack talk.
If you were to smack talk Bree, what would you say?
To get in my head.
To get in her head.
You're done. I'm finished with
oh!
you.
She's in my head.
Yeah.
Is that you in my head? I can hear you.
If you were to smack talk me, what would you say?
Doesn't make any difference, male or female. You're done.
Oh! Boom. Yeah. I like that. All right.
I was already scared in the first place of Stephanie. So.
We'll see you on the octagon.
No, the
Occhi.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing.
There you go, game on.
Yeah, game on.
Game on, Mark.
Perfect, thanks for that. So we had the dart lingo down, you know. We looked the part, we had the shirts.
It's dart chat.
It is
like
dart chat.
When someone throws a good set of darts, you say, good darts.
Good darts.
That's a thing.
These were the things we were learning along the way. And, you know, you play a few games and when you're getting belted and you're stepping up to the line every time and you're losing the confidence. But
got belted.
When you do come close to winning a game and it's on the line, because you've got to finish on a double.
So how many games did we play?
I think we played three times against three different teams. But it's best of three as well. It's a lot of games at darts.
There's a lot of games. We hadn't won one game.
But if and when we did get a win on the night, do you reckon we were sort of cool about it, just sort of, you know, took the win in our stride, shook hands and just went about our business?
I'm always a real subtle winner.
Just a real subtle winner.
Yeah.
Take a listen to this. For our first win, you need a double...
Four.
You're
just going to record failure.
Come on.
Double four. Come on.
Oh!
Just done it! Just done it!
We got to win.
We got to win.
We got to win. We got to win.
Don't have to do a nudie run now.
Yeah, no nudie run.
First win. Just real casual about the win,
yeah.
You know? When you get that win, you just want to stay real calm and not too over the top.
Don't act like you'd never got a win before.
I think Steph secretly wanted the nudie run, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
She was kind of hoping
she was keen for it. Because if you don't win a game during the whole night, you have to do a nudie run.
We weren't going to let that happen.
No way.
All right, so our first one is in the books. We've had a win. We're looking for other nights to play, and we're going to take this thing to Melbourne international style. So.
If you've got a dart night that you might know of that you want us to hit up, let us know. We're keen to come.
Or even maybe at your footy club, if you've got it set up there and you just want to have a casual game against us, we'd love to come down there and do that too. So.
And we're looking to do our own dart night.
That's where we are too.
CFM dart night. If you're keen to play... Stay tuned for that.
It's more fun than you think, you know. When you think about it, when you get there, it's just a great time. So we're going to put that together for you. We'll keep you in the loop.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM. Hello, Bree and Gaunzi's Sicky Hotline.
Yeah, I'm so sick.
If you work or you don't actually work at a workplace, that's what we aim for here. You've got to try and convince these people that you do.
All right, it's your turn this week.
Yes. Bring it on.
Got a good one for you. And okay. We are now giving each other the reasons you can't go into work.
Yeah. And you can pick anywhere in Australia for me to call, by the way.
We're going in Cairns.
Cairns.
Cairns RSL, okay. I think. That's where you're going to call this morning.
Sure.
And your excuse is that you've been going to solariums, which are now illegal.
Yep.
So they're underground.
Is that Australia-wide they're illegal?
I think so.
Do you need to go to a solarium if you're in Cairns? Isn't it sunny all the time? You're really giving me a tough one.
You gave me nits last week and a bald head.
You deserved it.
Right, so you've been going to underground solariums.
Okay.
And you went to one and you got a little bit burnt, especially in the groin area.
Okay, so
you bird all over. You didn't wear underwear into the solarium. That's a bad move.
So I've got burnt groins, can't come into work, so I've been going to underground solarium.
You've got some bad burnt areas.
All right, give it to me. Punch in the number. Where right, is
here
it
we
again?
Go. Cairns. Cairns RSL. Here
all right,
we go.
Sweet. Leave it with me.
Good luck.
Cairns RSL, Margaret speaking.
Margie, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Oh, that's good. It's Cam.
Cam.
Treasury? Cameron. Sorry?
From Treasury?
No, I work there at the... I work there.
Oh, yeah. Upstairs.
Yeah. How are you?
I know lots and lots of Cameron.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's a few of us kicking around, isn't there?
Yeah.
Pretty common name these days.
Yes, it is.
Hey, just wanted to quickly chat to you. I've had a bit of a situation go down, and I'm just trying to get out of my any shifts I've got this week. Any shifts I've got this week? I'm just trying to get out of them.
Cameron.
Yeah.
Cameron.
Yeah.
I'm a total mental blank.
Really?
Cameron. I only know Cameron from upstairs.
We work together, Margie.
Hang on a minute.
Okay. Just...
Do you have a Cameron? Do you have a Cameron on staff? Not here, upstairs. Sorry.
Are I don't have a Cameron on staff.
Are you playing with me, Margie?
Nope.
No?
No.
Okay.
Watch.
Nah, I'm just playing with him. I'm playing with it. It's Josh.
You know what? I'm going to kill you. Josh who? Now I'm going to ask Josh who.
No, it's me. I work there at the RSL. You're playing with me. What is going on? Hey, just quick, I just want to run it by you because I've had a bit of a situation go down, so I'm trying to get out of these shifts, but I've been hitting up the solariums.
See?
The solarium, you know, the tanning thing. I've got super tans. They're all underground at the moment, but, so I've been hitting up these solariums and I've got a bloody third degree burns, Margie. Even in my groin areas, full on.
Joy. Yeah, okay.
So I'm trying to avoid going out in public at the moment. If I could just can any shifts that you might have had me down for,
okay.
If I can just get the tick of approval on that, then I can go about my burnt ways.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still none the wiser, you know.
You and me both, Margie. just trying to get out of these shifts. But anyway, if you could just, give me the day off, that'd be great. And
When were you supposed to be coming in?
This week. Tuesday.
Okay.
So, have you ever hit up a solarium? They're pretty strong. I didn't know they were so strong. It was my first time.
Exactly right.
Bloody, they turned up the volume on me.
All right, then.
It's illegal, but you've got to go underground. But, I can't even walk at the moment. It's burnt my groins.
Okay, not a problem.
Cool. So, day off?
Yep, thanks.
You're the best, Margie.
Hey, bye.
Love ya.
Bye.
See ya.
She knew it was a stitcher.
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
You've won ones on that.
Have I?
Yes, 100%.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
You 100% have got days off based
gift
on that.
From Margie.
Oh, anytime you get it, it's a bloody gift. You don't work there, so it doesn't matter.
I guess I have to give it to you.
Yes. Points for me.
Good luck with that burnt
bong. Get up with Brian Gaunsey.
CFM.
One for the Snapchat users.
Oh, are you Snapchat?
You're a Snapchat user, yeah.
Yeah, often.
Yeah, I'm more into the Insta stories these days, so I'm not really messing with Snapchat. But do I come up on this map? Have you looked me up?
No, you don't come up on mine.
Okay, because there's this thing called Snap Maps, which is a new feature that's been introduced over the last few days. But people are freaking out about it because it's, it can lead to stalking in a way.
It tells people exactly where you are.
Yeah, if people want to know how to use it properly. So have you turned yours off?
I've turned mine off.
Okay.
Yeah. I turned it off straight away.
Who could you see when you just had a look there?
I could see Nick Kelly, who works here.
Okay. Where's
exactly
he at the moment?
Where he is.
Let's tell everyone exactly where he is.
Okay. Really?
No.
No, probably not. He's in Sydney
okay.
at the moment, if you wanted to know.
Okay, cool.
Also, another guy who works here.
Right.
He lives in Melbourne. He's got his on. I wonder if he knows.
So is the map just full of people that you know?
Well, it's all people you've got on Snapchat.
Right.
Yeah. And if they've got it turned on, you can see exactly where they are, like down to the street.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of scary. And you know what? Like back in the day, Instagram had that feature where when you posted a photo, it would geotag the photo exactly where you posted it. When, like where you were, it would tag the photo with the location of where you were when you posted it.
Okay.
Which people could probably kind of figure out where you lived, because if you uploaded a lot of pictures at home, which is probably what people do, you'd be geotagged, like a lot of the photos would be geotagged with that particular address.
Surely they pre-think of this stuff before they introduce it, don't they?
Instagram got rid of it.
Right.
Because it led to a few actual dramas, so.
Well, when you look at the numbers of Snapchat, so you say 60% of the users are under the age of 25. So that's a lot of school students, high school students using this thing. And if you're not aware of it, you haven't turned the feature off, it can be a scary thought, can't it? So how do we turn this thing off?
So you need to go into your camera, and then you can zoom. You zoom out with your two fingers. You zoom out.
And then there's like a settings cog or something, isn't there, where you can turn
the
top right?
And then it's like in the top right corner. It says settings, and you can turn who can see my location, and you can just say I want to appear in ghost mode, which means you can only see.
Ghost mode.
Which it kind of freaked me out, because I've got about 10,000 people that follow me on Snapchat.
Yep.
And that are looking at my Snapchat every day, which, to be honest, don't really want them knowing where I am.
Well, you're always doing the videos around. People can work. That's what people need to be careful of social media when they, not just these things that pop up, but if you're constantly, like say you go on holidays and you're telling everyone you're on holidays and there's one person that works out, okay, well, that person's
no one's
away.
At their home.
Yeah. I mean, these are the things we need to be careful putting online all the time.
Well, that's the problem with social media, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I know we don't like talking about the Kardashians, but there was an episode on the Kardashians where they spoke about Snapchat. And, I mean, if you're famous like the Kardashians are, Kylie Jenner, the youngest one, she was posting stuff and she was getting paparazzi everywhere.
Right.
And then they said to her, Kylie, it's because you're posting Snapchats about where you are.
All the
time. Like, of course they're going to know where you are.
It also doesn't help that they have those celebrity buses going around going, that's where Kylie Kardashian lives, or Jenner. I mean, that's the house right there.
Yeah, pointing it out for all the stalkers.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzy.
CFM.
This Air Asia flight, which was leaving Perth for Kuala Lumpur yesterday morning, had to be turned around. Oh.
I saw this on the news last night.
Worst nightmare.
Well, you know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I don't like flying at the best of times, so whenever I see one of these stories, I'm just like...
Are you all right on the shorter flights, though?
The shorter flights, I'm fine.
It's an hour, you know.
It's the flights that go over a big body of water that I'm not a fan of.
When you think about how many flights happen per day, I'm surprised more stuff like this doesn't happen. It's just a mechanical fault, really. I mean, this can happen to any vehicle. I know they get checked a lot, but still. Anyway, there was an engine failure, apparently, and an explosion was heard mid-flight, and they had to turn around and go back. And they were over the water as well, because they were about an hour and a half into the flight.
Mm-hmm.
And the audio of the pilot, which our producer, Rach, has done a great work of tracking down for us here this morning, even he sounds shaky in this moment,
and
doesn't he?
That's what I would not be a fan of, when the pilot comes over the big PA and says, you know, at least sound a bit confident.
Yeah, he was telling everyone to say a prayer and that he would be saying a prayer. I was thinking, mate, less prayer and more sorting out the situation.
More flying.
Don't worry about the prayers. Worry about the plane. But here's what he had to say. This is mid-flight, keep in mind, when everyone's starting to freak out.
And the plane is fully shaking. Yeah, this is what he said.
Please listen to the briefing. Our survival depends on your cooperating. Hopefully everything will turn out for the best.
Hopefully.
Well, I guess you can't guarantee people in that situation, because then if that audio gets released post and everyone, you know, the worst happens and he said, oh, it's going to be fine.
It would never be released.
That little black box thing that they always go looking for.
That was not, oh, yeah, I know.
They always go looking for that black box.
They do, but I don't think they'd ever release. I mean, that's the airline. It's a black box. They would never release that audio.
You think they only get it for their own?
They get it for the investigation.
Right.
About exactly what happened.
Oh, that stuff ends up in those TV shows.
Because that was off someone's phone. That was someone recording on their phone inside the aircraft.
Right. Well, it turned around, everyone's all good. But, I mean, you know, that sort of stuff freaks me out big time. And we put it out there for a call early this morning on 13 12 16. And Beth got in touch with us. Morning, Beth.
Good morning.
What's the freakiest thing that happened to you on a plane? What went down? Oh, probably shouldn't say
it. We were on our way to Thailand about 3 weeks ago, and we were almost landing. We're about half an hour out of landing, and the plane just randomly dropped 300 metres out of the sky.
Mm-hmm. It's happened to me before, and the mask came out of the roof. That's why I have such a bad fear of flying. Yeah,
that hard of a drop.
Yeah, but the pilot warned us. We were flying from LA to Charlotte, which is on one side of America to the other side, and he warned us and said there's a massive like storm, and we need to drop really suddenly.
Yep.
And yeah, we dropped. And it's the worst feeling in the world. And the mask came out of the roof, and I literally thought, this is it.
I would have just grabbed one anyway. I just would have went.
We all did. Everyone did. Yeah.
And so when that happens, Beth, I mean, there's no bouncing back from that confidence-wise, is there, until you hit the ground, you know, until you actually physically land?
No, they didn't say anything. And everyone just screamed, and then it went silent. And they didn't tell us anything until we landed.
See, what's worse, Bree? They don't say anything to you, or this guy that we just played the audio of?
Both is bad. You want the confidence from the pilot, which I think they have a responsibility to let the passengers, if something, depends what it is, I guess.
Imagine being the pilot, though. I mean, I know you're trained in that field, but still,
I mean,
like, it'd be hard to maintain the nerve, wouldn't it?
Look at that movie that was released last year, Sully, who landed the plane on the river in New York.
The Hudson River.
I mean, how calm that guy was, and he was landing a Boeing 747 or whatever it was in the middle of New York City.
I have to hear the audio. How calm is he? Is he just...
Oh, pretty calm,
really?
Considering, like, and the plane was actually going down. He knew both engines were gone, and he was like, I'm landing this plane here.
Well done.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
Just having a chat about this Air Asia flight that was forced to turn around because of a failed engine. They heard an explosion on the flight, flying from Perth to Kuala Lumpur.
Did you see the footage of the engine? Someone on the plane has taken footage of the actual engine, and it's shaking. You can see the engine, like, shaking inside, like, the actual... on the wing, you know, the big thing on the wing, you can see it, like, shaking around in there.
I always end up on that seat for some reason, they always put me there.
Oh, this one time, Mama Di booked me on this flight to come home, and it was one that had propellers, and I was sitting right next to it, and you could see the wheels, they come out of the wings. Like, that's how small the airplane was.
No thanks.
And I was like, of course, I get sat here. And then you could see the wheel, like, hitting the ground when we landed.
Did you see that this flight here was over Shark Bay? I mean, if you're going to go down anywhere, it's not Shark Bay, is it? You don't want to be taking that risk with the... wonder how many sharks are actually in Shark Bay. Joel's in Newcastle this morning giving us a call. Morning, Joel.
Morning.
Morning.
You got a plane disaster, mate, you'd like to share with us quickly.
Yeah, mate. I was working over in WA on Barrow Island. And I caught a plane from Perth, Cobham Airlines. And that was the second plane for the day. The first plane, the engine wouldn't start. So they threw us on a second plane. Just after we taxied and took off, we're about 200 metres in the air, when the left-hand engine exploded.
Complete explosion.
Yeah, complete explosion. Part of the engine apparently had punctured the outer cowling, and going through... Yeah, the cowling, it also pierced the fuel line.
Oh, great.
Which caused, when I didn't know at the time, but when I was sitting in the plane looking out the window, you see all this fuel rushing past all the windows. And thought to yourself, you know, why are they dumping fuel when we need fuel to go to the island? And all of a sudden, the biggest, brightest orange flash that you'd ever see. And, the fuel ignited.
My God.
Joel, you're lucky to be here, mate.
How'd they land the plane? How did it all end?
Oh, well, after about the fuel burn for about 10 seconds, it got put out. We'd done a U-turn, basically, and headed back to Perth and just landed.
What did they say? What did they say to you guys when you, like, got off the plane?
Everyone was just ushered into the departure lounge at Cobham. And asked not to speak to the press.
Do they offer you any kind of compensation? Because these guys on the Air Asia flight, they gave them a $30 voucher.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got, after 6 hours of staying in the departure lounge, they wouldn't let us leave. They gave us pizza and drinks, basically. And the people that wanted to proceed to the island the next day, they put him up in a hotel room for the night.
Pizza's all right, I guess, you know.
I think
pizza's
I'd give
pretty,
the island a miss after that. probably going to give it a miss.
Not jumping on another plane ever. Yeah, I think I'll give that one a miss.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzy.
CFM.
Dave Grohl. He's a legend. Lead singer of the Foo Fighters.
One of the great bands. Was also in Nirvana too back in the day, so he's done it all.
He's a legend.
And a few other bands as well.
There's that story of him where he broke his leg before the show and then continued to do the show with a broken leg in a wheelchair. Like, who does that?
That's commitment to the cause.
Commitment to his fans, isn't he? He's come out in the last couple of days and he's broken another record.
What's he done?
So he came on stage at the Glastonbury concert and he was talking about how Adele has the record for swearing the most on stage.
Right.
And he said, you can't have that.
Official record?
Official record.
Really?
Which you're not allowed to swear. Like at a concert, you're not meant to be swearing.
Really?
Like it's actually kind of frowned upon.
Even if it's not an all-ages gig, like if it's an over-18s.
Yeah, well, apparently, especially at Glastonbury, you're not meant to be swearing. And he came on. And he decided he was going to break Adele's record.
Intentionally just go for it.
Just go for it. Have a listen to the audio.
Adele holds the record for the most in a glass of beer drinks. Now, I love Adele. But guess what? Okay, I think we broke her record. I heard it was 33.
I wish we could play the unbeeped audio full effect. Wouldn't that be great?
Can you imagine?
Sounds like an SOS call he's putting out there when you beep them all like that.
It does too.
Just if you just tuned in.
Send
to
help.
That.
Right, beep, 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 beep.
Right now.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzy.
CFM.
Did you hear about this burglar in Melbourne? Broke into a house. And usually you'd think, when someone breaks into your home, it's like a smash and grab. They kind of get in there and they take everything they want and then they leave. This guy stayed for 5 hours at this place.
Nice pad?
Yeah, it was apparently a really nice place. He ate, he bathed, he shaved. He also played some video games while he was there and done some other not very nice stuff.
Like what?
Let's just say he had a good time.
I just want to see you tiptoe around it.
He really made himself at home.
Right.
You know, had a great time at the place in Melbourne.
Now I want to know what it is. I'll have a look in a sec.
They're saying the guy even went as far as using the homeowner's toothbrush.
Come on, man.
Who is this guy?
I get it. You want to break in, you want to steal some stuff, you need the money. All right?
But
don't do
obviously
it.
Obviously,
he
had something to eat and then he needed to brush his teeth.
That's not good for him or the person whose house it is. Like,
apparently there was DNA left all over the home, so they've been able to track down who the guy is.
Right.
What an idiot.
Just easy as that.
Do you reckon he just wanted to have a nice day?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he picks a really nice place in Melbourne.
Has anyone ever broken into your home?
No, I was just thinking about that, actually. My nan, who lives in Bunbury, which is, like, south of Perth, she had someone break into her home when I was staying there and we were out for the day. And you come back and everything's just tipped over.
Ransacked.
And fully, ransacked. And you just have this real kind of icky feeling, you know, when someone's been in there and they've been through all your personal belongings.
Yeah.
It's a real uneasy feeling. But apart from that, no, I've never been broken into. Yourself?
Yeah, when I was, I would have been 19 and I was living in Brisbane and I went to work for the day and I used to live really close to where I worked. So I used to come home for my lunch break and I left at like 8 o'clock in the morning, came home for my lunch break and just was looking around. And obviously I had housemates and I was like, God, what's going on here? And I just thought they'd been really messy.
Right.
And then when I went into my room, I realised my laptop was gone. So I was like, okay, someone's broken in.
So you thought your housemates had just had a big party or something?
Yeah, that's
what
I thought.
What's going on here?
And someone had just absolutely ransacked the joint. And I just had this real feeling of I was so angry. Like, I just was angry that someone would. And you know what creeped me out as well is that obviously they'd been watching the home to know when to break in.
Right.
Because there was three of us that lived there, and obviously they were watching to see when all of us would leave or, like, when we'd come back.
And how'd you sleep that night? Uneasy?
I actually didn't stay there for a couple of weeks. I ended up staying with my auntie. But it was interesting, 2 years later, because obviously all the items that you get stolen and that you have to describe to the police.
Yeah.
And my laptop had this really kind of, it had, like, stickers and stuff on it that I told the police about to identify the laptop. 2 years later, the laptop turned up.
Where from?
Well, the police actually raided, I can't even remember where it was. They didn't really tell me because I don't think they really can, but they raided this other home and the laptop was there along with other, like, 100 other laptops.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, and they were like, do you want it back? And I was like,
nah. I claim this one on insurance. It's pretty nice.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to keep the one that I've got.
And so you said, who did you say you lived with again? So it was you and who?
Two other housemates.
So there was three single ladies in the house.
No.
Interesting that they didn't spend too long in there like this guy did. Just quickly in and quickly out of the dirty home.
My underwear drawer was ransacked. So.
13, 12, 16, what are you putting out there this
I want to know, have you been broken into and what did you lose? What did someone steal from you?
Okay.
Which, I mean, surely there's got to be people out there that have been, their home's been broken into.
Can we say if you're listening right now and you're thinking about doing it, don't do it. All right, it's just a little community service announcement, all right?
Go busk or something.
Yeah, get a real job.
Yeah, please don't steal from me.
Yeah, I've got three dogs guarding my place now. So,
do you?
Yeah.
Oh, the real mean ones.
Yeah, the two dogs next door and mine. So don't be messing around with me. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, I've got killer pigs.
In your Terrigal apartment.
Yeah, protecting my home.
They'll come for you.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM. We're talking about this guy in Melbourne who broke into a home, and usually, like, if there's someone breaking in, they're running around, they're ransacking the place, and then they're getting the hell out of there.
Yep.
But he decided he'd stay for 5 hours, he'd eat, he'd bathe, he'd have a shave, played some video games, made himself at home.
Bizarre.
So strange.
Wouldn't you be worried they're going to come home?
You'd be terrified the whole time. Anyway, he had a great time.
Yeah, enjoyed himself. He's been caught up with, though, because he left DNA everywhere. So
yeah, used the homeowner's toothbrush while he was there. So
that's straight in the bin, that is.
Mm.
When someone, actually, just quickly, before I get to the calls, when someone broke into your place,
yes.
Did you throw your toothbrush out? Because I wouldn't mess around with that stuff.
No.
Because they could, if they're stealing stuff, they might just dunk it in the toilet.
I don't think I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Morning, Luke.
Morning.
How you going?
Very well. Luke, did someone break into your home?
Yeah, we've had someone break into our house, and on another occasion we've had someone break into our car whilst parked in the driveway overnight.
And what'd they take?
When they broke into the house, they stole all the contents of my wife's jewellery box, which included sentimental things like the very first ring she was given away as a little girl from her mother.
I had stuff like that stolen from me too.
I think it's the sentimental stuff that holds more value. You know, there's stuff that you can't get again. You can replace a TV and all that sort of stuff, but memories that come along with a lot of things can't be.
You know,
so.
One of them was a medallion that she had given when she had a stillbirth, and it was very, very special to her, but it was in the jewelry box and it's gone, so it's never going to come back.
Mm.
But they stole PlayStations, digital cameras, laptops, iPads, anything like I think I can fit into a backpack.
See, that's what makes me so angry, Luke, is that these people don't think about stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're just looking for a bit of easy money, and, you know, they don't think about anyone that they might be hurting in the process of that.
Now, the funny thing is, though, they stole our PlayStation 2, but stole the PlayStation 1 remotes and left the PlayStation 2 controllers there.
Suckers!
Sucked in, guys. Whoever's done that, that's it.
Those remotes are expensive, so good luck trying to play that.
Alan's in Killarney Vale. Morning, Alan.
Morning.
Morning.
What do you got for us, mate? Been broken into?
Yeah. We're just living in, I was living in East Gosford at the time, and I had my car parked in the garage, and it wasn't quite in the garage, so the door was half down on the roof, and you can obviously get into the house through the external door. So some guys have had a big night at the League Z, and we're walking home and seeing the light on in the garage and decided to walk in and check it, you know, check everything out. And, they actually came into the house while we were all there. There was three couples in the house at the time, and we didn't hear a thing. And they came in and found the keys and pushed the car out and loaded it up with the PlayStation again and stereo and all sorts of stuff.
God.
So we were pretty shocked. We woke up in the morning and then one of the girls was just cleaning the house that day and she found a Central Coast League's membership, temporary membership slip on the ground. So, yeah, we opened that up and, yeah, we found an address and a name.
Oh, left the evidence there.
Yeah. So we, me and the boys, we checked out the phone book and looked up the address, and four Kiwi boys, 100 kilos plus, jumped in the car and went and paid these guys a visit.
God.
And mate, we knocked on the door and it was like they seen the ghost, mate. So we collected them and put them in the car. And
citizens on patrol style.
Yeah.
Did you take them down to the police station?
Yeah. We actually took them up to, we started driving out bush trying to get, you know, some information out of him, and he just buckled.
Alan!
All right.
Yeah.
Just gone down a road I wasn't expecting, Alan.
Yeah. He just buckled, so we ended up, that was it for us. So
okay.
We turned around and we took him to the station, and the cops were absolutely blown away. They were so, yeah.
I'm sure they would have, but they would have said this probably not the right way to go about it. Is that what they said for you guys to take it into your own hands?
Probably just guys send the cops around there.
Yeah.
They said, guys, like, you make our job so much easier. We will
really?
Show them the evidence and everything. Yeah.
God, okay.
Yeah. So, we ended up getting the car back. Found the car up in Mount Elliot, Wyoming, up in the bush.
And what about your stuff?
Nah, the stuff was long gone, but
they got rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They picked the wrong house, that's for sure.
Yeah, big time. That's the thing. You don't know who lives in these places when you do that sort of stuff, you know. You might get the four Kiwi guys with Alan and rocking up to your place.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
You don't want to leave something with your address behind on it either, do you?
And can I just say it's not a reflection of the Central Coast Leagues Club, because we went there Friday night. It's a great spot.
It is a great spot.
So, all right. Thanks for your calls this morning. Alan's my love, Alan. I don't want to mess with Alan in any way. He's gone, but...
Can he come live next door to me? No one will be coming around and messing with me in my place.
Personal security guard,
yeah,
Alan
exactly.
And his mates.
I'll just say, do you know who lives next door to me?
Alan.
Look out.
Have a great Monday, guys.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
CFM.